Today is the beginning of the last series of messages that I'll be bringing to you. Now, that sounds really weird to me. I take seriously each and every Sunday what I do here. Now, I know there's sometimes you've really wondered about that, and I understand. But as some old pastors have said, they refer to the pulpit as the holy desk. And pastor's place, we often use the word office. I prefer study, because that's really what its intent is. Give the pastor a place to focus and to prepare the coming word. But at times it is more office than study, as you can imagine, with so many things that go on in the life of a church and leading a church and just some of the administrative things that go on. But as I was contemplating how to approach this last season as your pastor, as I shared before, we're talking about Advent, and Advent is a time of preparation leading up to Christ's birth that we celebrate on Christmas Day. And the word Advent is an interesting word. If you look it up in the old Webster's, which I'm fond to do when I start looking up definitions, its first definition given is actually the season of Advent. It's listed as a noun. And I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. I didn't try to go to some recent dictionary to make a comparison. I think I would have not been surprised to have not seen that as being the first definition. Advent usually carries with it the sense, the implication of that there's some, you're on the cusp of an upcoming event. You're nearly there. Something major is about to occur. And so for that reason, this Advent carries, I think, an especial significance for us all, because we're at the advent of the arrival of a new pastor and a new family. And Jeremy is coming, along with Ginger and the children, and they're going to be here they'll probably be here before the 1st of January, actually, but that's his first day, quote, on the job, so to speak. That's when his duties begin. And they'll be here the 4th of January, although, and it's not mine to know. I just know that, as I understand it, he's not preaching that first Sunday. And that's okay. I wished I'd have been given that grace sometime. But he is planning on preaching the 11th. I know that for sure. And with his come, as I have kind of hinted at before, not so much of a hint, but said, you're beginning an adventure. Somebody chuckled. They noticed what I did there. Okay. That means you're as twisted a mind as I am. But this series that we're beginning today is all based right here in this verse that was read earlier. So you're going to get to hear it at least four times over the coming weeks. Isaiah 52:7. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. At the beginning of this verse is a very concrete happening taking place. There is this approach of a runner. In the day of Isaiah, runners were the messengers that would bring news. A watchman would be on the wall all the time, looking, waiting. First for signs of anyone who would bring ill, but also signs of those who might be bringing a word, some news. Especially if the city or the region's armed forces, army, were in battle somewhere. A runner would come to bring news of how that's going. And so you could imagine the anticipation that would rise if something like that was going on. The anticipation how it would rise if the longer of period of time there was between someone bringing news. If you know that you're on the advent of the birth of a grandchild, and you haven't heard any news lately, for some of you that might be 2 days. For others, it could be longer. Your anticipation, your expectation rises, maybe even fear. I don't know. You wonder what's happening. Well, imagine how they must have felt, because for 400 years, they hadn't heard anything. The last bit of news they had gotten was from Malachi. It's just that they hadn't heard from God. They were waiting. Isaiah is looking forward to this. By forward, I mean he's foreseeing in the future that there's going to be a time where there has not been a word from God, and now we're awaiting someone who will bring the news from God, a word from God. And I think it's almost impossible for us to sense the urgency. We're awash in news, aren't we? Goodness gracious, if only we could. Yeah, never mind. Gone are the days of the Bill Sexton Hour. Bill Sexton had an incredible voice. He was the voice of the Golden Spread out there in Amarillo and on KGNC radio. And he had a 10 o'clock show every weekday morning, and no telling what was going to be on the show, but it wasn't the kind of thing we expect to see now when we're listening to the radio. If it's not music, then it's a news or it's a talk show or whatever. His was a completely different flavor. But then, the urgency they must have felt. And I want to set the stage for that, because you see, they had endured by this time at least 4 invasions. They had been conquered 4 times. And this is after the Babylonians had wrecked the walls and the gates of Jerusalem and exiled those who had means and those who were of more educated, and they had left behind those who were not as educated, were shepherds maybe, without means. They had endured invasion, they had endured warfare, they had endured defeat, they had known times of hunger, starvation, deprivation, and even slavery. Oh, how they could have used some good news. News of restoration, news of, as we'll see later by next week, news of peace. Can you imagine what it would have been like for them if there had been no concern whatsoever of the watchman yelling out, "They're coming"? Hide. But instead, news of joy. We've been waiting. We have been in a season of awaiting some news. Back in the first of the year, I just began to sense that, okay, all right, God. It's time to let go. I just sensed in my spirit that the Spirit was saying to me, despite the uncertainty of another pastor to follow immediately behind me, I just needed to begin the process to step away as pastor. Now, I was born in Plainview, Texas. That has no meaning to you other than you knew it's flat. And the hometown of Jimmy Dean. But the high school mascot are Bulldogs. And somewhere along the way, I guess I kind of took that to heart. Because I tend to latch on like a bulldog, you know, to my harm and maybe the harm of others. But so to let go was a big step. And I was really concerned about, well, Lord, what about Riverstone? With pastoral supply is pretty short. And you know what I tried to do, what we tried to do to get a youth director here, and we saw how that went. The Lord said, I got this. So we waited. Began the process. I began the process of saying I would, December 31st, on or about, I would be stepping away. We waited and we waited. We needed to do some things that maybe would give us a better, give Riverstone, see, I'm still talking like it's me involved here. I'm sorry. Done that for 10 years. I don't know when that'll stop. But we waited, and so we tried to make it a little more appealing, more to come here, to be the pastor here, to be supportive. And suddenly, we didn't just have one candidate. We had three candidates. That was a miracle. You know, if you'd have had two to just choose from, I would have said, okay. But we got three. And then when I heard Jeremy Barbie's name, and I kept on thinking, Jeremy Barbie, I don't remember this guy. Who is this? And then one day, it hit me. Oh, that Jeremy Barbie. And I was excited. And then, miracle at least number two, if not more, he said, yeah, I would like to go. Come to Farmington, to Riverstone. Indeed, how lovely will be Jeremy's feet. When you saw the runner coming, the fact that the feet were beautiful was a word of hope, a word of good portending that there was good news. How lovely are Jeremy's feet. I know it kind of sounds funny in our day. But Jeremy is younger. He's of a different generation, so he's going to see some things differently. And I think that's good because he doesn't have to translate as hard as I do. He's going to come with greater energy. He's bringing a family. I think that's so cool. And I have great confidence in Jeremy. He got his degree, his theological and pastoral education at Asbury, so he's got solid schooling with a schooling that is not only orthodox, but a schooling that an institution does a very good job of helping shape the spirit of those who become pastors. And I just want to say, you know, as a way of speaking to that, Asbury has been long recognized as being able to do that. It's a part of who they are. And Asbury graduates more Methodist pastors than any other institution. It's not even close. So Jeremy comes here also as a recognized leader. You'll lose him for about 2 weeks toward September of next year because he's one of our delegates, conference delegates to General Conference. That's a big deal. Not only what he will have to do to prepare to be there and then be there and be a part of the decision making, but it's also comes with that, obviously, and what I think you can be thankful for and anticipate is that that also means he's recognized by his peers as being of a high quality, of a godly man. And so that's wonderful. And Ginger comes here, his wife, she's invested in mission ministry. She's going to Thailand this next year. I think this February. I don't remember. She's a part of that team that's going to go help them launch the new conference in Thailand. It's in their extended ministries, you know. And each of their children bring a uniqueness and a set of gifts and energy and activity and a draw that I think is all good. So Jeremy's coming brings not only good news, but it is for Riverstone marks a really fresh start to a new adventure. Because you're going to have to re-gear. With that's going to come, oh, yeah, well, he wouldn't be sitting at home on Friday night. He'll be at the ball game. Huh? And then there's another aspect about this passage in Isaiah that I want to bring to your attention. I feel the need to. This is the fourth prophecy of Isaiah. It only takes us 51 chapters to get here. But here we are. And in this prophecy is the coming of the Messiah and the salvation, the restoration that the Messiah is going to bring. And so Isaiah was literally foretelling of a great new adventure for the people of God as they would experience a restored relationship with him, a vibrant relationship with him. In his own day, Isaiah's words were first shared with those who were left in Jerusalem, a shattered city. The exile had left it not only the war had left the buildings and the structure of the walls unsound, but the exile had left it decimated of people. And we'll not speak of the great siege that took place before Jerusalem fell and what happened in that long starvation. So those who stayed lived in desperate conditions. And Isaiah does a wonderful job of painting those conditions, giving us word pictures earlier on. They subsisted among the ruins of a city. They cried for God's help. They wanted to hear from God. And seemingly for 400 years, there was silence. You know that feeling. Maybe not 400 years worth. But maybe there have been long moments in your life when you were crying out to God, please answer this. Give me a clue. What's going on? Silence. Would they ever again hear from God? Would a person arise that would bring forth, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord God says." And Isaiah says to them, "Yes, a day is coming." And the day came and a runner approached. But it didn't. The watchman that was first heard was not standing on a wall. He was out in the wilderness. And telling the people to repent. For the kingdom of God is near. What would that news be like, they wondered? What would it be good, and would there be hope in the news? Would there be, or as they listened for the watchman who stood on that rickety wall, would it be, "Oh gosh, another army coming"? You see, let's put some names on who they had endured. They'd endured Babylonian invasion. They had endured the Assyrian invasion. They had endured Alexander the Great's invasion. And then they had endured the Romans. You know, none of those folk were cousins that you like to invite to Thanksgiving dinner. Daniel had prophesied several times, actually, within his little book, his little letter, those four invasions. He doesn't paint a very good picture about that. But here Isaiah is saying, listen, there's good news to be had. They heard Jerusalem's restoration and that there would be a return from exile. There's a whole new chapter in the life of this nation, the people of God. They will enter into a new adventure. And my friends, you are getting ready to enter a new adventure. Because like any adventures, you really don't know what's on the other side. You don't know how it's all going to unfold, or it wouldn't be an adventure, right? I mean, if you knew what it's going to be, you might call it a tour. But not an event tour. And with the Barbies coming, you are receiving news. News of Christ, news of new ways, news of hope, of how God's going to be acting on your behalf and in you and through you. You will find good news just in who they are and the gifts they bring, but you also will hear news in what Jeremy speaks to you from God's Word. I'm reminded of Romans 10:15. Paul's been talking about, he sets out the whole theological foundation of salvation, chapters 1 through 8. And then verse 9, he begins to talk about the Jews as it is related to them, and the Jesus is coming. And then in 10, he begins a little different thrust. And in verse 15, he says, "How can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." Jeremy can bring good news because he's being sent to you. It is with purpose. It's very intentional. It's not like the days of old when we used to have a bad habit in the old denomination of, it was kind of like having your own, it's just another franchise. It didn't matter what Burger King you went to, you know you're going to sell a Whopper. You know that the decor is going to be orange and yellow. You know? This is different. I mean, all sorts of preparations, information, data points were pulled together and given to the elder, to Darren Skinner, and conversations were had. This is who we are. This is our setting. This is what we believe we need. This is how we're doing things now. These are our hopes. And before any those candidates were considered, they had to read that. They had to look at that. They had to consider, do I have something that God has given me to offer these people in that setting to be a part of bringing in the kingdom of God, to sharing the good news of Christ? And so Jeremy was the last one to say, yes, I want to be considered for that. I want to go and talk to these folk. And then when when the personnel committee said, we think that Jeremy is the best fit, the one whose gifts and graces and person would serve well here. Then the elder turned to the superintendent of our conference and the other elders, and they had a lengthy discussion. Hours long. It wasn't a 15-minute deal amidst other conference business. And they said, okay, we sense that the Spirit would send Jeremy. And so he comes. His coming. News of a way of restoration. News to a new life with God. And for that, be thankful. Be thankful, expectant, and receive him and his family with joy, and in the meantime, prepare for their coming. Prepare with prayer. Prepare for each of the family members to experience a good transition. Is so important. As a pastor who has known, and as a father who has known some of those transitions not to be so good for their children, believe me, you want a pastor who's able to focus on you and this ministry from a healthy standpoint with his family. So pray for that transition. Pray that also to be ready to receive from this new voice good news that he brings. Be ready for an adventure.